Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is August 5th, 2015. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing at 17,540, the NASDAQ at 5139, and the S&P at 2099. Last week, I talked about retirement plan options. Tonight, I am discussing longevity, what it affects, and how do you plan for it. It's going to be a little bit of a different show tonight, so it's not as much as probably numbers that we're talking about or really the essence of what I would call financial planning, but the importance of it because of longevity. So we're going to give you some ideas about what longevity is, how do you improve it, how do you plan for it, and if you need help in your golden years as far as living and resources, I'm going to talk about some of that toward the end of the show as well. So that's what we're talking about tonight. We are live. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810 at 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. And I do just want to give a little shout out that WDIY was in the news this past week talking about that we are able to expand our range by the end of the year. So we're all looking forward to that as well. So for the folks who are currently listening to us, you may have friends or neighbors or people just outside our listening area. You might want to start sharing that news that eventually here, hopefully by the end of the year, we're going to have a wider signal range, and we're excited about that. And for more information, you can go to the morning call and look for the article on WDIY. So congratulations to WDIY for that. We're looking forward to it. So if you have questions tonight, again, the number is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at any time through yourfinancialchoices.com. You can shoot us an email and I will respond and hopefully help you with anything you might need. So what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about longevity. What is it? How can you improve it? How do you plan for it? And if you need help, who do you call? So what is longevity? Well, I just looked it up simply in the dictionary, and it defines it as a long life, the fact of living for many years, length of life, the life of time that something or someone lasts or continues. Quite often, you'll hear about life expectancy when, you know, as financial planners, we quite often do planning for folks that might involve certain calculations, pension calculations, Social Security calculations, and just kind of planning for how long you perhaps will live or IRA distributions. So there are life expectancy tables that we will reference that are available from the IRS typically. And I think around, like, if you're age 70, your life expectancy, I think, let's say, is about 16 years. So age 70, 16 years, that's 86. If you're 65, I don't know, you know, sometimes that adjusts. So we are seeing people live longer and longer. And if that is the case, then we need to plan sooner and sooner for our retirement years. We still have it in our mind that folks retire, you know, 62, 65. I have some people who like to retire at 55. Well, if your life expectancy is to age 86 or age 90, that's quite a few years that you're having to make sure that your money lasts, your pension lasts, or Social Security. So that is why we're also going to talk about some of resources going forward. So let's say you are someone who prefers the option of living longer versus the other, and you want to make sure you live a long and healthy life as best you can. So you want to improve it. So how do you improve the chance of a longer life expectancy? Well, there were some resources that I found from HHS.gov, which is Health and Human Services, I believe. And there is constant research in this area, but people would agree that it's some combination of genetics, healthy living, and environmental factors. So as I was looking it up, it seemed like, you know, some people said it's X percent of genetics. Some people say, oh, not necessarily. Some people say it's healthy living. Some people say it's environmental factors. So there's lots and lots of research on it. And it seems to me that you can't necessarily pinpoint longevity on any one of these things, but that it's a combination of them. So how much can we control? Well, we hopefully can control healthy living and our environment. Again, we can't always control our genetics, but what we can control would be healthy living in our environment. So some information that was available on HHS.gov was talking about adopting healthy eating habits and behaviors, as well as staying involved in your community, which contribute to a long, productive, and meaningful life. So healthy eating habits and behaviors, and what they mean by that is when we say healthy eating habits and behaviors, healthy behavior might be, you know, not drinking a fifth of scotch a day or something like that. Who knows? Healthy eating habits and behaviors, and also staying involved in your community. So what they mean by that is having, you know, activities to do. Maybe it's at a senior center. Maybe it's at your church. Maybe it's volunteering. So we will talk a little bit about that. So when we look at healthy eating habits, we're looking at nutrition. And this article suggests that you check labels. Small containers often have more than one serving. So you're elderly, you can't read labels as well. You might not realize that that little package of yogurt or nuts might be multiple servings. So you want to try to look at the nutritional facts. If you can't read those labels, you want to make sure that you have, you know, tools at home. Once you get there, like a magnifying glass, maybe you need to take a magnifying glass to the store to read the nutrition labels. Maybe you take a friend to help you, someone who can help you pick the healthy choices. So when we look at nutrition, we're looking at making sure, of course, nutrition is important at every stage of your life, but you want to make sure you have a good diet, stay healthy, look at your nutrients. If you're overweight or obese, you have a greater risk of developing diseases such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, some types of cancer. So you want to learn how to manage your weight successfully. Adults 65 and older are at a higher risk for hospitalization and death from foodborne illnesses. So you want to make sure that if you have family or friends, aunts or uncles who are elderly, who are on their own, that once in a while you go and visit and maybe check the refrigerator, see what's in there, how is it dated, what's in their cupboard. You want to make sure that they're not leaving food out and exposed, which could expose them to, you know, bacteria and things like that. All right, folks, we are talking about longevity tonight, what you can do to improve it, and then also, how do you plan for it? So we're going over a number of different issues. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about longevity tonight, how to plan for it. And if you need help, who do you call? We'll get more to that as we get further into the show. Right now, we're looking at how you can improve it. And much of this information is available from government websites, which are my favorite, hhs.gov, hhs.gov, that's Health and Human Services. And there's articles on healthy aging and all kinds of resources and tips. And if you go to that site, you'll see articles, and then you can have links to, you know, shopping tips, overall health tips, activities, learning how to manage your weight successfully. So as I said, when we're looking at longevity, and especially for our seniors, we want to make sure that they're eating healthy, knowing what their labels say, what the nutrition is that they're getting. And also, studies show that a good diet in your later years reduces risk of osteoporosis, high blood pressure, heart disease, and certain cancers. So again, you want to try to adopt a healthy eating regimen when you're younger, carry that through into your retirement years. Making good choices, starting those habits early, gives you a better chance of a longer life expectancy and a healthy life expectancy, you know, so you're healthy in your retirement years as well. So lots of resources there. Also, staying active, having goals for exercise and being physically active, that's going to help your healthy lifestyle. So get involved with maybe a senior community, a senior center. Sometimes they'll even have buses that can come by and pick up folks, and just starting getting involved with those activities. You want to be careful as you're getting older about driving. So sometimes folks are still totally capable of driving, but if at such time you realize, you know, it's getting a little bit harder, you can't see as well, maybe you can't see as well at night, but you're okay during the day, try to pay attention to those signals so that you're not, you know, risking your life when you're out around the community driving when you shouldn't be. Okay, so be careful. These are all things to contribute to your longer life expectancy. All right, you also could check into there was something mentioned on the hhs.gov website that talked about SeniorCorps. It said it connects adults 55 and over with people and organizations that need you most for volunteer opportunities. So that might be something, you know, you could be very vim and vigor and still able to get out and about and want to volunteer. So SeniorCorps has some resources that you could search. If you have a computer, you could just put it in the internet, Google SeniorCorps, and there are opportunities that listed. If you don't want to go that route, just think about what kind of activities that you were involved in, maybe, you know, in your working years, and then you kind of forgot about it when you retired. You started doing a bunch of other activities, doing all those things you want to do, and now you're done traveling. You're done, you know, maybe the grandkids aren't in the area anymore, and you're looking for something to do. What were you involved in before? If you like Education, are there volunteer opportunities at the schools? If you like your church, are there volunteer opportunities at the church? Could you get involved with Scouts, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts? So you want to look for those opportunities. United Way, there might be opportunities there. So lots of organizations in our own community that you could check on. They also had a link for something called Senior Community Service Employment Program. It's a community service and work-based job training program for low-income, unemployed, older Americans. So sometimes one of the things that we have happen in our older years, maybe we had a spouse who was getting a pension and they passed on. And if they had a single life expectancy, they die and now you've lost their pension. Maybe it's harder to make ends meet. What are you going to do? You think, well, I'm older now and I don't know if I can get a job. This might be one place to check for resources. Senior Community Service Employment Program for unemployed older Americans. Maybe you just need a little bit extra money beyond what Social Security is covering for you. Maybe that's not helping you keep up with inflation. And it would give you, you know, grocery money or maybe your incidentals or a little bit of extra spending to, you know, go to a movie once in a while. So that's something to think about if you hadn't before. You may have an opportunity to still get a job. So how do you further plan for longevity? Can you do financial planning for it now? I would suggest so. Remember, we always try to be proactive and not reactive. So having resources in your retirement years will give you the most options. Should you consider long-term care? This is something to think about now when you're younger. Maybe you're a little bit healthier. You could qualify for a long-term care policy. Maybe the premiums won't be so high. You certainly don't want to wait until you're, you know, really in bad shape, because then either you're not going to qualify or the premium rate would be so high. So it might be something you just want to think about checking out. You're not obligated to buy the long-term care policy if you just want to kick the tires and see what it would provide for you, see if you need it. This might be the time before you're not as healthy. Can you afford it? You want to make sure that you could afford it. Not all long-term care policies are the same. There's different benefits. So those would all have to be weighed and balanced. So regardless, staying in your home may provide the most affordable option and increase your longevity. So from the website again, as part of the federal government's National Institutes of Health, the National Institute on Aging funds and conducts research related to aging, including how older people can remain independent. On their website, they have a tip sheet of helpful hints, resources, ideas for living on your own. So that's from the National Institute of Health's National Institute on Aging. So again, you can just Google that, find these tips on living on your own. So what do you do first? Planning ahead is hard because you never know how your needs might change. But the first step is to think about the kinds of help you might want in the near future. Maybe you live alone, so there's no one living in your home who's available to help you. Maybe you don't need help right now, but you live with a husband or wife who does. Everyone has a different situation, but one way to begin planning is to look at any illnesses like diabetes or emphysema that you or your spouse might have. Talk to your doctor about how these health problems could make it hard for someone to get around or take care of him or herself in the future. Help getting dressed in the morning, fixing a meal, or remembering to take medicine may all be all you need to stay in your own home. Some people don't realize that as well. There are so many new businesses, services out there. You want to be careful. You want to make sure you're checking out any services that you're engaging to help be a caregiver in your home. You want to do your due diligence there. But there are many providers that will come in, not necessarily, you know, if you don't need a nurse or a medical team, maybe you just need someone to come in and help with the grocery shopping, do a little bit of cleaning up, maybe some preparation of meals. That might help you stay in your home longer. People who stay in their home longer tend to do better, but you also still need that connection in the community, that people interaction. So I've also seen studies where they say that people who live in a community also live better because they have that interaction and engagement with other people. All right. So we're building up to what this life expectancy is evolving into, this longevity. Where does it get us? What do we have to do? And how are we planning for it? If you have questions, it doesn't have to be about just this topic. It could be about last week when we were talking about retirement options. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, this is Robin from the Gas House Dance Hall. I want to congratulate WDIY for celebrating 20 years on the air. We've been a partner with WDIY since April of 2015, and my favorite programs are Swing Sundays and All Things Considered. Happy 20th anniversary, WDIY.
And welcome back to the show. It's a lovely evening tonight, and we hope you are driving safely on your ride home or comfortably listening to the show in your house. If you have any questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about longevity tonight. It's a little different than our normal topics. Normally, we're talking about all the different elements of financial planning, whether it's tax-related, retirement-related, cash flow-related, estate planning, perhaps. Tonight, longevity, a little bit of a different subject, but I had received a booklet in the mail from my alma mater, Western Michigan University, and they had a whole presentation on longevity and researching longevity and all the efforts and inroads they've made to working with people in the community, making it more comfortable for folks, getting students involved with going into the elderly folks' homes to help them, you know, do some of their day-to-day activities. And I found it quite interesting. And that's kind of what prompted me to have a show on longevity, because it's going to be such a big term. We're going to have so many more seniors living longer and longer. So we have to make sure that we're planning better as we prepare for retirement or going into retirement, make sure that we're watching out for our parents, our seniors, our aunts, uncles, friends, those folks who are older, maybe on their own. Let's help watch out for them and make sure that they're taking care of themselves and living healthy lives, watching their nutrition, making sure that their food isn't spoiled in their refrigerators, and finding ways to help them stay in their home. So how can you help older relatives stay independent? As they grow older, some people start having trouble doing everyday activities like shopping, cooking, taking care of their home or themselves. So if this is happening to any of your relatives, you can see what you can do to help them out. Talk to them about getting help. Maybe you can offer to get information for them. Think about what you and others in the family can do to help. Talk to your friends whose relatives may be facing the same kinds of problems. Ask about the solutions they found. Then let your relatives know what you have learned. You might be able to help them develop a plan. So what kind of help can you get? You can get almost any type of help you want in your home. Typically is going to cost you some money. So the most common types of help that you're looking at are for personal care, homemaking, meals, money management. So you want to be careful of that. I always get nervous for folks with that. Health care. So with those, you want to look at, you know, local services such as the Area Agency on Aging. And I'm going to have more information about some of those resources toward the end of the show. And of course, local and state offices on aging or social services as well. Nearby senior centers as well. So personal care, we're talking about bathing, washing hair, dressing, Again, maybe a relative or friend could help, but maybe you're not comfortable with that. So there may be a service, a local service, and typically your area agency on aging may have some resources for you on that or be able to direct you in the right direction. Homemaking, chores like house cleaning, yard work, grocery shopping, laundry. Some grocery stores will deliver food, so that could be something that you could check into, and that would be a big help. Cleaning services, you can hire cleaning services. Maybe someone you know has a housekeeper to suggest. Some housekeepers will help with laundry. Again, it's all about making sure that you have good referrals, that you're working with known people, someone you know that has a reputation. You don't want to just hire someone without doing your due diligence. Meals, we hear people calling Meals on Wheels and different agencies like that. Money management. The article says, do you worry about paying bills late or not at all? Are health insurance claim forms confusing? Maybe you can get help with these tasks. Ask a trusted relative to lend a hand. Volunteers, financial counselors, or geriatric care managers can also help. Just make sure you get the referral from a trustworthy source like your local area agency on aging. If you are familiar with computers, you could pay your bills online. More and more people are doing that. You'd be surprised. It's amazing to me when, you know, we know that people who are in their 80s and 90s didn't start off when they were four on computers like our kids do today or on iPhones or iPads. But it's amazing to me how many elderly people are using online bill pay. So you just also want to just kind of keep an eye on things and make sure that they're not being scammed in any way. So you want to check with someone at your bank about that option. Sometimes it can come right out of your bank account. It could go right against a credit card. It could go against an investment account, a brokerage account. So there's lots of different ways to set that up. So just call and ask the questions, and I'm sure there would be someone who would walk you through it. When you sign up for federal benefits for the first time, you must choose either electronic deposit to your bank or a special debit card. So if you already get federal benefit checks, that was by March 1st, 2013, you'll have to switch from paper checks to one of those automatic methods. They do have a phone number here. I believe that's probably for Social Security. It's 1-800-333-1795. You can also stop by your bank, credit union, or Social Security office to start that process. All right. And again, this article goes on to say, as I did earlier, be careful to avoid money scams. Never give your Social Security number, credit card account numbers, or bank account numbers to someone on the phone unless it was you who made the call. So if you're calling, you know, the local ABC company to order some new pants or something, then you could give the credit card number. But if they are calling you, someone's calling you and saying, hey, try this service. Hey, you ordered this. Give me your credit card number. Always be guarded and careful. You also want to make sure you're checking your monthly bills, your utility bills, your credit cards to make sure nothing seems amiss and that no one has accessed any of your information. Credit card companies are so good these days, I feel, in calling folks when there seems to be suspicious transactions. I've several times for us, they have caught transactions that were not valid very, very quickly. It's just amazing that they can must have systems to tell when your shopping patterns have changed. It might be, you know, buying something at a tech store or buying something in another state. So it's good that you have a history with a particular credit card company for some time, because there must be ways for them to adapt to your spending habits and patterns so that they know when something seems suspicious. Often, if we travel in areas where we don't normally travel, we'll call the credit card company and let them know, by the way, we're traveling to ABC state or country, so that they're not surprised when they see those charges come through. and then you don't run into a little hiccup that you're in a foreign state, foreign country, or another state, and all of a sudden your transaction isn't going to go through because your credit card company is, you know, security has caught it and wants to avoid fraud. So it's always a good idea to let them know before you travel. Folks, if you have questions tonight, and it can be on any subject, your financial choices, your phone number is my your phone number, this phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about longevity tonight. Longer life expectancies require better planning sooner, so that you can make sure that you are living in your retirement years comfortably and not destitute, not relying on other people. We want you to be able to take care of yourself. So proper planning as early as you can will hopefully guard against some of those unforeseen expenses that you might have in your later years and plan for those longer years. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. If you do not want to talk on air, you can give your question to Judy Ann. She's in the studio. She'll take your call, write the question down, bring it into the studio, and I'll do my best to answer the question. So we're talking about longevity. When we talk about some of the, health reasons, you know, what you need to do to take care of yourself to live a healthy life, your nutrition, exercise, getting out in the community. And then we also talked about making sure that financially you're going to be okay. You know, do you need help with your money management, setting up online bill pay, avoiding scams? If you are getting to the point and you hadn't already done this, one thing we always want to make sure we do when we talk about planning for our longevity, we want to make sure we have our estate planning documents. I think some people are afraid to do them. Maybe they're worried about their, you know, their own end of life, that they just, it's overwhelming to them. But you need some basic documents. It will certainly relieve your loved ones who are left to take care of you if it's all in order before something really is wrong with you, where you become incapacitated but alive, that you can't answer questions. You can't tell people, you know, where the important documents are, where the important assets are. So you want to make sure you have your estate planning documents in order to help with the financial matters and to help with the health matters. So the power of attorney, a durable power of attorney, means that it's going to be in effect if something happens to you, if you're not of the mind to take care of your responsibilities. You want to make sure you have your durable power of attorney. Pennsylvania adopted new power of attorney statutes in January of 2015. So if you don't have them, it's a great time to do it. It's good timing. Lots of attorneys out there ready to help folks. You want to go see an attorney so that you have all the proper documents in order to do a will, power of attorney, health directives, and, you know, a trust if need be. You work with your attorney to get those documents done. So the durable power of attorney, you can help outline what financial matters your power of attorney can handle for you. You can limit them. You can, you know, open the door wide open, give them all kinds of power. So you want to make sure that you have your power of attorney done. You also want to make sure that your health care directives are set up. If you're incapacitated, can't speak, you want to take care of that. Maybe that same person could go to appointments with you when you go to the doctor, sit there, listen, be your advocate if you can't be your advocate. You know, I've been going through some medical issues with my back, and, you know, you get so overwhelmed by what's going on and you're so desperate to get better that sometimes you don't hear everything that maybe the doctors are saying or the nurses are saying, or you forget to tell them, oh, yeah, I had this episode, or I was feeling really bad for 2 weeks. I just happen to feel better today when I go into the doctor. Doesn't that happen? So you might want to engage that person who's going to be your advocate, your healthcare directive, to go to doctor's appointments with you. We had a call come in from Joanne. She said her mother is in New York and she is in Pennsylvania trying to use her account to set up health aids for her mom. She has a power of attorney and access to the account. Can I talk about coordinating this long distance? Thank you for the call, Joanne. And anyone, if you missed the call, let me give the The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So, Joanne, it sounds to me like you do have access to the financial account so that you can, you know, take care of paying bills. If you have the power of attorney and the access to the account, I would expect that maybe you have check writing on the account, or if you have online access, you could set up like payments out of the account. Sometimes you can write checks directly out of the account, electronic transfer. When you talk about working with health aides for your mom, one of the things I would suggest, especially if this is long distance and you're trying to coordinate this long distance network with the health aides, you might want to see if there would be a local advocate for her. There are, you know, resources, of course, again, from the area on aging. I never can say that name right, but I will get to it. Here it is. The Area Agency on Aging. I always forget that name. They may have information for you that maybe they could give you some information or resources for local providers that could do some of the health aids. If there is a company that's local that has management that you could have a direct line to and make sure that they're supervising the health aids, making sure they're checking on them, that they have done a background check on the health aids and have checked their credentials, et cetera. You want to make sure that you have that all in place as well, excuse me, and hopefully they can be on the feet on the ground for you. And then I would also, Pennsylvania, New York, not too far away from each other, I would make sure that maybe you're going to go check on her once a month, once every couple weeks, whatever you can do to get there, maybe do some surprise checks, call in with your mom, talk to her on the phone, see how she sounds. Does she sound nervous? Does she sound empowered? I don't know what capacity your mother has right now. So you want to see if you can get someone local who'll be your advocate with you as well. But certainly as power of attorney, you can write checks. Just make sure that you've checked out the people that you're hiring to be her health aide. John, we have a call on line one. And we have Dave. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Lori?
I'm okay. How can I help you?
Well, I thought it'd be interesting if you would talk a little bit about what you saw as the role of advisors in this process, not just the financial and power of attorney issues, but if you think you see a role for us, I'll say, in planning for a healthy retirement and making sure those resources are available, and if you see it, maybe there's a different role for attorneys versus accountants versus trust officers or financial planners.
So kind of comparing the different roles that advisors would have in this process.
Absolutely.
So we're planning for them to live longer. We're giving them these tips on living healthier, longer lives, being physical, being involved. We're seeing more and more communities of 55 and older. So now that we've got these people living longer, how can we as a community coordinate? Now, Dave, can I share with the audience who you are so that
Absolutely.
I okay, full disclosure here, Dave Helwich is another financial advisor, and Dave and I are both on the Estate Planning Council and of the Lehigh Valley. And one of the things our organization tries to do is have a multidisciplinary approach where we might have a financial planner who's doing one part of the oversight of a client's financial situation. We might have an accountant, a CPA who's preparing the tax return, an attorney who's preparing the documents, and maybe there's a trust involved and a trust officer. So, Dave, do you want to add a little bit since I have you, and I'd love to have a little break. You can give us some of your insights because Dave, if for those listening, has been on the show a couple times and does a great job.
Well, the one thing that kind of comes to mind as you're mentioning the Estate Planning Council is the visit that we had occasion to make to a local senior living community.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. One of the points that they made was moving into these communities earlier where there's not just service, but there's community and friends and activity and a lot of the things that you were talking are beneficial. Apparently, they have statistics that say your mortality improves simply by moving into these kinds of communities because you have that level of engagement and services and certainly earlier intervention on health care and all the positives that go with being an active member of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought it was interesting that as we are living longer, that's going to be an important, I think, stigma to overcome. You know, a generation or two ago, you moved out of your house, you went to a nursing home, and that was a pretty terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the options are seem to be a lot more positive and with all kinds of positive impact now.
And Dave, go ahead and mention where we visited because this is just an example. But go ahead.
Yeah, sure. It was Morningstar Senior Living in
Nazareth. Nazareth.
Oh, in Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
In Nazareth. You can hear I'm holding the person who's going to be making the decisions for me.
You're holding the baby.
Yeah. Absolutely. But, I found it was very eye-opening for me as I'm almost 40, so my parents are of an age now where they're starting to make these decisions about where they're going to spend, hopefully, the next 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly what's available and the resources and the kind of choices that are open to them is very different than the perception from 20 or 30 years ago, and it seems to me a lot more positive than it needed to be.
And in fact, Dave, don't you think too, one of the things I'm kind of hearing from my clients is they actually are very involved in living their lives, and they want the attorney to take care of the estate planning documents. They want their financial advisor to review their assets, make sure that they're going to have the income and resources they need to be in these communities sometimes.
I think that's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
It goes hand in hand with, the conversation of what lifestyle do you want to fund?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, not necessarily just sitting on a rocking horse watching grass grow.
Right.
And it may be travel. It may be, an opportunity to move to these places, which, that requires some planning. They're not necessarily the cheapest options, but there can be, a lot of positive and a lot of benefits there. And the other thing that I'm finding is, hopefully, in an ideal world, we're developing really deep and long-term relationships with our clients, which
mm-hmm.
means they're asking us for advice on all kinds of things,
right?
Not necessarily just the financials. And I think it behooves the financial community to, educate ourselves. So when the question comes, we're thinking of moving out of the house, but what are the options that are out there? That can be a great place to have that conversation.
Right. Well, Dave, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. We got to get you back on the show soon.
I look forward to it. Enjoy the rest of the show, and I think the baby's out of patience. So
thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, take care.
Take care, Lori.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling. Bye. That was Dave Helwich, who's a CFP and a colleague of mine on the Estate Planning Council of the Lehigh Valley. And, in fact, Dave is the vice president coming up next after me. I'm the president. So we like helping our clients look at all of the aspects of their financial life and definitely very involved in making sure that they have their estate planning documents done with their attorneys and positioning yourself in the best way so that you can go on and live your life, so you're not having to worry about these things, and that you can afford them to the best that you can. Not everyone is going to have the same opportunities to go live in a community. Sometimes you are going to be in your home. So we want to make sure that you have, even if you're staying in your own home, the resources available, as our previous caller had said, getting her mother some health aids. And I hope that I helped Joanne. I'm not sure if I answered her question, but if I didn't, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
The time is 6:45. You are tuned to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Currently 81 degrees. Tonight, a low around 57. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Thursday night, a 30% chance of rain and thunderstorms with a low around 60. Friday, a slight chance of rain, partly sunny with a high near 82. And then after tomorrow and Friday, no more chance of rain. It's what it says right here, low around 60 for Friday night. For Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 83. Saturday night, a low of 63. For Sunday, mostly sunny again with a high near 85. And Sunday night, a low of 65 degrees. Lori, it sounds as if we're going to have beautiful weather for the daytime and some pleasant temperatures to sleep at night.
I've been enjoying it for several days. I just love being outside. When I'm not working, I love being outside. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking about longevity, life expectancy, what you have to plan for, multidisciplinary approach. You want to make sure you have your estate planning documents all prepared, so you've taken care of your estate, that you've taken care of your health care options, that you've done some financial planning to know what your options will be in retirement, whether you're someone who might have a choice of living in an over 55 community or assisted living, or one that goes from assisted living into skilled nursing, or are you going to end up in a nursing home, or are you going to end up in, you know, a government provided housing, whatever it is, are you going to be ready for it, and how much power do you have over it, and, you know, if you want to affect it or not. So we want to make sure you have all that in order. I want to talk a little bit about the government resources, but there was one thing I saw when I was doing my research that I thought was really cool. So it was called Products to Make Your Life Easier. And I'm seeing, you know, I'm not that old yet, but boy, my body's really fighting with me. And I kept thinking, oh boy, I wish if I could have help putting on a sock. So Products to Make Life Easier, there was a website called Able Data, A-B-L-E-D-A-T-A. It was the Department of Education's website. Again, www.abledata.com. It has information on more than 30,000 assistive technology products designed to make it easier for people to do things for themselves. If you don't have a computer, you can call a 1-800 number, 1-800-227-0216, probably to get information. So I started playing around with this Able Data, and some of the items are a little expensive and some are very reasonable, but very interesting. And I also was talking to a client today about my father-in-law has a chair that actually it's kind of in an up position, and he kind of just goes stands by it and pushes a button, and it lowers him to a sitting position. And then when he wants to stand again, he pushes a button and it lifts him back up. It is the coolest chair. It's a very comfortable chair. They're not necessarily cheap, but it's certainly a great idea for folks who have trouble getting in and up, you know, up and down from sitting positions. It's very, very handy. So that website, I just had to make sure we got that out. Joanne called again. Thank you, Joanne. I appreciate it. She said, I did answer the question. And that the last, Dave had mentioned age 40. Isn't there something called a 40-70 rule that says when you're in your 40s and your parents are in your 70s, you need to talk about the future? Is that still a truth? Can you discuss? Very interesting, Joanne. I had not ever heard of a 40-70 rule as far as that's an age to talk to your parents, but I have done shows, it's been a long time, but I had done a show in the past about how to have those conversations with parents. What it was is it was based on, you know, around the holidays. I said we get together quite often with families around the holidays, and there's so much time probably catching up and visiting and eating and watching football and recovering that we're missing out on a huge opportunity to have some very, very important conversations. So how does a younger person, maybe an adult, have those conversations with their older parent adult? So one of the things I suggested was, if your parents have not talked to you about some of those important elements, you're not sure if mom and dad have a will or a power of attorney or health directives, you have no idea if they want, you know, resuscitative measures taken in the event they, you know, collapse or something, you want to see if they have them. How I would approach it would be, Mom and Dad, I'm thinking about doing my own estate planning, and I think I need to go talk to an attorney, and maybe you live in the same town. You could say, who did you use, or what did you have done? Did you use each other for powers of attorney or executors? Who's your backup? How did you decide who the backup is? You know, is it the siblings? Mom and Dad, are you having your brother, Uncle John, be the executor? Or are you relying on us kids to be your executor? Because Mom and Dad, if you're relying on us to be your executor or your power of attorney, we would feel more comfortable if we knew a little bit more about your financial situation. We're not being nosy, Mom and Dad. We're being concerned, careful. We want to make sure you're going to be okay in your retirement and that we take care of any of your planning by fulfilling your wishes as you see them. So that's a very good way to approach it. You say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this for myself. What did you do for you? What did you guys do? What did you plan to do? Do you have any insights for me? Do you have any advice for me? You know, I have seen where there are adult children also who may not have a spouse or children themselves, and sometimes they'll name their parents as beneficiaries on IRAs or life insurance. That may not be the best thing to do. That's another way to have a conversation with your parents. You say, Mom and Dad, if anything happens to me, I want to know if I die and I leave my estate to you, is that something you would need? That might be another way to find out how well your parents are positioned financially. And this might not just be parents. It could be, you know, close family relatives, aunts or uncles. You know, I just get so nervous about people who may take advantage, you know, of our loved ones. So, you know, stay involved. Watch out for those that you care about. But Joanne, thanks for calling back and letting me know. But I think it's always good to have those conversations about, you know, the parents' future and what did they see and what did they think it would be. My mother often says, I'm not going into a home. I'm not going into a fall home. And I say, Mom, that's not your problem, because we're all going to be fighting over you because we all want our mother. Unfortunately, she won't travel out here anymore, but I'd have to like throw her in the back of the truck and drive her out. Anyway, it's always good to watch out for our parents. Okay. Longevity, life expectancy, looking for help. You always can contact the Area Agency on Aging. Again, an agency name that is so hard for me to say. I can never remember how to say this. And if they change their name, it might be better for all of us. So you will have a local or state area Agency on Aging, where you can get more information as well. So where do you look for help? You want to start with resources that are closest to you, people you know, family, friends, neighbors. Maybe you do have advisors who you've relied on for years. If you have attorneys that you've worked with, quite often they're connected in the community, financial advisors, your insurance agent, CPAs. A lot of times these professionals will have resources in the community. Dave called earlier. We're both on the Estate Planning Council. We know that a lot of the professionals are connected and have resources in the community. So contact one of your advisors if you need help, if you need to know some names or agencies for these situations. You can contact community and local governments. Maybe your parish, parish priest or minister, geriatric care managers. There are companies that do this. Look at the federal government. There are websites available. There's information on Medicare. There's information on the Social Security website. The National Institute on Aging has a website. It's unfortunately, they make these slightly a little complicated because it's nia.nih.gov. So that's NIA for National Institute on Aging and .nih for National Institute of Health, .gov, G-O-V for government website. /health is where you'll find a lot of these tips that I've talked about tonight. There's also an Elder Care Locator Program. The Administration on Aging provides information on many different services for older people, and they can give you the number of your local area agency on aging. There's a toll-free number for that and an internet website. The website is eldercare.gov, or the toll-free number 1-800-677-1116. And you just tell them your issue, and hopefully they will direct you where you need to go. So how much does all of this cost? You've got to remember that some services are probably free, and some services are going to cost money. So if in the event you're in a position where you want to engage someone to provide services, as our earlier caller, for health aids, you want to make sure you also shop around. Do your due diligence. Call a few people. Granted, again, if you have really good referrals because you have really good sources, that's also very, very helpful. But you want to make sure that you do comparison shopping as well. And the difference is in the cost. If you want to stay in your home, maybe someone is capable of staying in their home, but maybe it needs to be modified a little bit. So you might want to look, you know, is the house a two-story or is it a single level? You know, if it's a two-story, to modify it for someone to live, you may have to let go the whole upper floor. Is that going to cause a problem? Is the maintenance going to be a problem? So maybe you might, it might not be worth modifying a house that's just not going to work overall. So then you say, well, how much is it going to cost to go into assisted living? Or, you know, maybe you get a caregiver to come and live in. Lots of different options. Know the cost. Long-term care facilities do cost a lot of money, so you want to make sure you do your research on that. Lots of websites. Administration on Aging, AOA.gov. There's, of course, the Department of Veterans Affairs, which is VA.gov. The Elder Care Locator I mentioned, eldercare.gov. There's federal and state government benefit information. That's benefits.gov, medicare.gov, USA Govern, it looks like Gov for Seniors, which is usa.gov, Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is hud.gov, low-income home energy assistance program. That one is just too hard to do. That's LIHEAP.NCAT.org. So many, many resources available to people out there if you just look. National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers, which is caremanager.org. Here's one to also think about. National Adult Day Services Association. I didn't talk about adult daycare, but there might be situations where you're the caregiver and you are taking care of a senior and you just need a break once in a while. So you also might want to make sure that you're aware of services that maybe a bus would come by, pick up your elderly parent, take them out of the home for the day to give you a break and help you just kind of, you know, run errands or go away for a day or something like that. So don't forget about taking care of yourself as well if you're the caregiver. I hope that we had some tips tonight that help folks. It's a little bit of a different subject for me, but I had fun doing it. I've been doing this since 2007, so I need to mix it up once in a while when you do a show every week like this. If you ever have any ideas of what you'd like to hear about on Your Financial Choices, send them our way. You can do that through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Just submit a form, give us your ideas, and I'd be happy to try to make a show of it. That's a great way to learn more about something that you need to know. Next week, I'm going to have Tom Riddle, CPA, CFP, and President of Valley National Financial Advisors, join me to discuss the advantages and disadvantages of lump sum payouts over pensions and what you have to consider. Coming up next is In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. And I want to thank John for being here, Judy Ann for being here, and I want to thank our callers, Joanne and Dave. Thank you very much. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.